Hello there, welcome along to The Sweet Spot. It's the Racing Post's regular weekly golf show. Bruce Millington and Steve Palmer. We've got just the one tournament this week, the Joburg Open in South Africa, but it looks pretty competitive. Hopefully Steve's had plenty of time to go right through the field. Lots of unfamiliar names, so we'll see whether he goes favourites, outsiders, or a combo of both. Before that, though, let's look back on last weekend, a dramatic weekend. And Steve, you said on last week's show that Nicola was away in London gallivanting around with a friend. So you were one on two with the kids and you weren't going to watch a lot of golf. And when it happened, I thought, well, I just hope Steve's at a fun fair or Santa's grotto or something like that. Did you see it or were you out with the kids?
It happened while I was at Bournemouth Aviation Museum. As I entered Bournemouth Aviation Museum, it was going really well. McIlroy was in the lead. I had one little last check before I went in and we were a shot clear. So I was buoyant as we went into Bournemouth Aviation Museum. Oh. And then as I exited Bournemouth Aviation Museum, we had a little scoot around there for an hour. And then I discovered what had happened. And three drop shots in the closing four holes. I mean, I had it all taped, so I had to wait till the kids were asleep that night to catch up on the full drama of it. I didn't know about the 15th hole. That is what you're referring to.
Yes,
The 15th hole debacle. I didn't know about that until I watched it later on. But at the Bournemouth Aviation Museum, you know, it was quite fitting, really, because I was sky high going in, and then I was like a Spitfire that had its fuselage damaged by a Messerschmitt as I came out. I was just like that as it came out.
They're quite young for an aviation museum. Had they been playing up or something? Was this some form of punishment or what?
No, I just decided to have a packed timetable. I needed to be out of the house, because if I was in the house, the lure of the golf would have been too much and they would have had a terrible weekend. So I knew I had sole responsibility for their happiness and their pleasure. So we went 10 pin bowling.
Did they like it?
Yeah. They had the greatest weekend of their life. We went 10 pin bowling in the morning on Saturday, Weymouth versus Altrincham in the afternoon, and then a Chinese takeaway. And then Sunday was Bournemouth Aviation Museum, pub, Monkey World, McDonald's. So they had the time of their life.
I mean, apart from Monkey World, that's like a stag weekend, really, isn't it? And they're what, 4-1?
2-6. There were a few for my benefit as well, I suppose. Yeah. I had to take advantage of the Chinese, because the wife doesn't like Chinese. So when the wife's away, we have to have a huge amount of Chinese food. But yeah, they had a great time. And I tried not to let the golf bother me. I must admit, the Rory McIlroy situation took about an hour to get over. But I was in the pub at that point. And I explained it all to him. Grace understands. She understands. She understands that Lady Luck has abandoned me lately. She hates Lady Luck. She blames it all on Lady Luck. Rightly so. Nothing to do with me picking the wrong players.
I mean, let's just go through it. So basically, here we are. Rory's at 15. He's played a massive drive. He just flicks one onto the green. He hits it absolutely perfectly. But it's so perfect. It hits the flagpole and rebound ricochets violently back into a bunker. He's so taken aback that his bunker shot's not brilliant. Leaves it on the fridge. Fluffs his par putt. Makes bogey. And then it doesn't disintegrate, but it's all downhill from there, because Steady Eddie, Colin Morikawa, has flicked into overdrive. Five birdies in the last seven holes. I mean, to be fair, Steve, he was so good, Morikawa. McIlroy might not have won anyway.
Well, this is it. Five-shot gap in the end. I mean, I know you're of the opinion he might not have got there anyway. 17 under was the mark to get to. But I think that what happened on 15, yeah, as you say, it was fizzing with spin when it hit the flagstick, wouldn't it? So you'd expect to have reversed back close to the hole. So birdie rather than bogey there. He pushed too hard on 16, just slapped the birdie part of the hole because he was chasing. So I think he would have made a par at 16. That's a three-shot difference there. And then 18's an easy birdie for him if he's in the right frame of mind, but he had gone, hadn't he? And he made an ugly bogey, so a two-shot difference there. I think he would have got to 17 under if it hadn't have all gone wrong on the 15th. I mean, Harry Diamond, you know, the worst thing for us and it was the each way backers. You know, when Rory's cruising,
didn't he make the frame with some firms?
Finished sixth, and I had an each way double with Bet365, five places. Rory McIlroy, Cameron Smith. I mean, this is what was so hard to take that he didn't even place.
Yeah, I had it.
You had that. So, yeah, the two number one selections.
I did.
So Cameron Smith finishes fourth in the RSM. He does his business. Rory McIlroy's gone from first to sixth in the blink of an eye. And Harry Diamond, we were singing his praises. He was urging him to chip out from the trees on 18. Yeah, and Rory went for this wonder shot. Yeah, almost pulled it off. I mean, he just couldn't care less. And he's put it in the water. And then even then, two putts from the edge of the green makes a par, and we would have got our place. But I don't know. Yeah, I think it would have been a playoff with Morikawa. But then, you know, Morikawa played pressure free on those closing holes. Would he? You know, it was crucial what happened. It was crucial.
Wasn't it? Yeah, very much so. But I mean, you have to take your hat off to Colin Morikawa. He's so steady, and so his temperament is just perfect. He seems a lovely guy. He's very level headed. And, you know, what can you say? He got the job done. Well done to Morikawa backers. And commiserations if you were on Rory. Because it looked a lot of the time throughout the week, Steve, that Rory might just sort of click into overdrive and go ahead and open a 4-shot lead. And that would be that, didn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that 7 he took on Friday. Yeah, he closed with a 7 on Friday. To surrender the lead there. You know, looking back now, that was pivotal, really, because if he had gone into the lead on Saturday, he played well on Saturday, would have really kicked clear, had a nice cushion, and it all could have changed. So that was really disappointing. But Colin Morikawa, just huge amounts of killer instinct that we've seen this year. Yeah, there was a big debate when he first came onto the scene. Morikawa, Hovland and Wolf, they all came on at the same time from good amateur careers. And Hovland and Wolf had been winning more as an amateur. Morikawa was consistent, but didn't win as much as the other two. Now, you know, he's taken to the professional game. You know, they're tougher setups. Yeah, suit Morikawa. And, John Rahm would be looking over his shoulder now in terms of, the world number one. You know, Morikawa's clearly got the ability to become world number one, I think. So, absolute heartbreak from us. Dean Burmester finished 6th as well. And one player outscored Colin Morikawa over the closing 3 rounds of that tournament. It was Adrian Ous, opened with a 75.
Yeah.
Opened with a 75 and then played the best goals of anyone and then closed with 5 consecutive pars, 2 par 5.
Oh, my goodness. So I got a little bit of place money from Arnoux with someone. I think he might have finished tied 8th, didn't he?
No, he was 9th.
It was Burmester, wasn't it? Sorry,
Burmester tied 6th. Yeah. We had all of our players finishing the top 15, I think. Even your mate Thomas Peters was floating around. He recovered well.
I woke up on Thursday morning to see him 4 over. I thought, oh, Christ, here we go. But he did rally quite well.
He did rally. We just had no luck. And then in the RSM, I mean, Cameron Smith, we said he'd take to the seaside course, and he did 64, 68, 64, but he didn't like the plantation course. He shot 71 there. I know it was breezy, but he didn't really do any damage on the easier track. And Mackenzie Hughes and Seamus Power were the ones that looked the most dangerous to Taylor Gooch. But Gooch, to be fair to him, talked a good game before that final round. Says, I relish pressure, blah, 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 blah. History suggests he didn't. I thought he was, you know, bluffing, but he did handle himself really well, didn't he?
He did, didn't he? Yeah, very good. What price was he at the outset?
40-1, your Taylor Gooch. Yeah, he'd been in really good form, but he went in the final 2 ball of the Maya Cobra event and imploded.
Doesn't that missing Y in his first name irk you slightly? That is T-A-L-O-I. I just wish they stuck the Y in there. I don't know. It's a bit of OCD for me.
But anyway, fair play. Graham, shouldn't they call him Graham Gooch? Is the only Gooch I am.
Graham Gooch, yes, that should be his nickname. But I did a little research with him, actually, Steve. And he did an interview with someone and said, when did you feel like you could make it as a pro? And he said, when he was 11... he played a round of golf with Craig Perks, of all people.
Oh, did he?
Craig Perks had just won the Players' Championship, you know, those memorable scenes with the presentation with Maureen Perks. And he played with him, and he said that apart from the fact that Perks obviously hit him further than him, he felt he was competitive at 11. So that was when he felt like he could make it. So fair play to him. But he's broken his duck now, and I suppose, you know, he's another player, isn't he, in the right conditions could go on and win again. He held it together really nicely, didn't he?
Yeah, just turned 30. Yeah, just the milestone of the 30th birthday seemed to click him into gear. I don't know. He's not a player I've really liked much, but he may win a couple more events. Yeah, I wouldn't get too excited about him.
Okay, fair enough. I'm not. Anyone else from last week? Anyone catch your eye?
Probably should get excited about Nikolai Højgaard. That's a pretty impressive course debut there. He tied for 4th. I mean, Rasmus Højgaard would be getting a little bit worried now because it looks like his brother might overtake him in the world rankings. There's only 12 places between them now. Nikolai's on an upward curve. Rasmus is struggling a bit. So, the pair of them.
How old are they?
Early 20s. He's exactly 20, I think, yeah. Nikolai Højgaard. Yeah. Sorry,
Brilliant, aren't they?
Yeah, I think the Højgaard brothers are going to go from strength to strength. Yeah, it was a really, really good debut, that. And then on the other side of the Atlantic, Mackenzie Hughes was probably the one to take from the RSM. I mean, that RSM Classic, a assignment's ideal for him. He's a former champion, but ever since he won that event, he's played rubbish there. Last week, runner-up, 63, opened with 63, closed with 62. So, yeah, I think Hughes would be hard to leave out the staker plan next year for the RSM.
Okay. Shall we look ahead to this week's one and only tournament?
Yes, we don't want to talk about the Dunlop Phoenix. I don't know whose stupid idea it was to cover that last week. Well, why did you? Why Dunlop did you suggest Phoenix. That? You're a bit moron.
We should
cover
you.
The ladies' event. I said we should cover the ladies' event.
We should have done the ladies' event. You tipped the winner in the ladies' event, didn't you?
I know. I'm jesting. I know.
Oh, well, never mind. Right then. So this week, nothing in America. We've got the Joburg Open in Johannesburg, obviously. Let's have a quick spin through the betting and then Steve can tell us all about the course and we'll get his selections. Dean Burmester. Is it Burmester or Burmester? I say Burmester.
You know I like having fun with names. It's whatever makes you feel most comfortable, whatever you enjoy saying.
What does he say?
I think I've never heard him refer to himself. I'm good on South African names. I know Valco Nienaber is Valco Nienaber. If you get it from the horse's mouth, you're laughing. But I've never actually heard Dean Burmester call himself Dean Burmester.
Okay. He's favourite round about 9-1. Dylan Fratelli, 18s. Johannes Veerman, 22. Romain Langasque, 25. Valco Nienaber, 25. Gorgeous George Kotzir, 28. And it's 30 bar. So not a star-studded field by any means, Steve. When you look at a field like this, and, you know, there aren't massive names there, and one, I suppose there is one player dominating the market, but, you know, just about single figures. Do you start thinking, yeah, I fancy this? When you saw the field, were you like, yes, I've got a chance here?
I'm excited about it. Yeah, I just, regardless of the prices, I will go through the names. I won't go through the names on the odds. I'll go through the entry list and work from there. So, yeah. I am excited by this tournament. I like it when I've only got one tournament. Yeah, so I like it one or three, you know. Because three, you get the treble opportunities. One, you can just totally immerse yourself into it. So, I think this is a good betting heat.
And there are a few unusual names at reasonably short prices. Is that because we've got a new intake of pros, or is it because there's loads of South Africans here that a moron like me wouldn't be familiar with?
Yeah. There's all the best South Africans aren't bothering, are they? You might get a few more next week for the South African Open next week. But this is very much your second graders. And Dean Burmester.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, we discussed Dean Burmester at some point. I wonder whether he's regretting his entry in this. I saw an interview with him after the Dubai event and he looked knackered. He just grinded four consecutive 69s and they asked him about the course and they were trying to big him up for next week. It was a South African interview and he was just like, oh, yeah, I've had a few problems on a few holes there. You know, he seemed very downbeat. Yeah, I've got no interest in him this week.
Oh, right. OK. How many selections have you got?
Got six selections, three at massive prices.
Oh, lovely. Brilliant. OK. First of all, what kind of player generally tends to thrive at this venue? And indeed, what is this venue?
This venue is the Firethorn course at Rand Park Golf Club. In the past, there's a Bush Willow track at this course as well. And they used to have one round at the Bush Willow, but it's four rounds at the Firethorn course now, which is the harder track. 7,506 yards, par 71. We must say we've got 2,000 spectators per day allowed in. South African COVID rules allow 2,000 spectators a day. Last year's Joburg Open was staged on this course, four rounds at the Firethorn. The 2018 Joburg Open was also there, as were the 2019 and 2020 South African Open. So it's a little bit of recent course form for us to dive into. It's a long tree-lined layout and there's a windy weekend forecast. It's going to be quite a stiff ball striking test this week with the windy weekend. And we've got three places up for grabs in our Open, the start of the Open qualification.
Oh, so the front three that qualify get into the Open?
If you finish in the top 10 of this event and you're not qualified for the Open, the top three in the top 10, if that makes sense. They don't just give you any old Dick and Tom, Dick and Harry, but you finish in the top 10. Yeah.
Okay. St. Andrews, the Open next year, isn't it?
Yeah, the 150th, I believe.
Are you going to make an attempt to go? You haven't been to the last couple, have you, for obvious reasons?
No, I don't think I go these days, do I? I concentrate on them.
To you.
Providing quality content.
If you want to go. Why not?
No, providing quality content for all our various Spotlight Sports Group companies, you know.
Okay, fair enough. Righty-ho. Anyway, never mind that. Without any further fuss, let's get your headline selection this week. Let's get the one man you're going to pin your most hopes on.
That is Jaden Shaper, the artist formerly known as Jaden Trey Shaper. Do you remember him?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
We've come close to success with Jaden Trey.
He's dropped the tray.
We were on him at fancy prices for the Alfred Dunhill Championship almost exactly a year ago. Shot a fine around 75, if you remember rightly, and finished second. So absolute heartbreak for us. In January of last year, he finished sixth in the South African Open at this course. He was 18th in last year's Joburg Open at this course. I think this year's conditions will suit him even better. It's going to be a bit of a grind this week over the weekend with how windy it's going to get. Shaper reminds me of a young Bernard Langer. He's a really tidy operator. He's only 20 years old, clearly got a massive future. And from August onwards this year, he's been really solid on the Sunshine Tour. His last eight events, five top tens, including one second place. He was fifth in the Sunshine Tour PGA Championship last time out. So I think South Africans are the ones to concentrate on, you know, traditionally in events in South Africa. They're so used to the conditions. Shaper is the pick of them.
And he's 40 to 1, I can see. Have you seen any better than that?
No. The early 50s has been taken. I think 40s is fantastic still, yeah.
Okay, fair enough. Have you ever dropped a tray?
Good one, yeah. Yeah, I have actually. Yeah, I've dropped a tray or two.
Have you?
Yeah, we've all done that, haven't we? I remember seeing a man drop a tray at the Oval cricket ground when it had about 8 pints of lager on, and he was trying to get back to his seat. I'll never forget this. I was only a young kid watching it with my dad, and he tripped and spilt a tray of like eight beers and went everywhere, and the whole crowd would go, whoa, cheering him, and his mates started shouting abuse at him, and they called him Fatty Thompson. I'll never forget it. They started giving it all this go, who spilled all the beer? Who spilled all the beer? Fatty Thompson, he spilled all the beer. Great.
God, blimey. And do you remember at school when people would drop a tray or a plate and did the whole kind of canteen erupt in cheering?
Yeah,
did that happen in your day?
Yeah, it happens in my day, yeah. And if it's just like a weird English mentality, isn't it? If you're in a pub and one of the waiters or waitress drops a glass and it smashes, everyone cheers, don't they? Yeah, they cheer at the destruction of a pint glass. Strike the juggler.
Yeah. Anyway, Jaden Shaper is the headline selection.
Yeah,
I like that. Who's the main danger?
The next best sweet spot regular, Romain Langasque at 25 to 1. Fantastic amateur career. Quickly got off the mark on the Challenge Tour. Wales Open winner last year. And recently, he's got full control of his long game. He's driving the ball absolutely superbly, rock solid from tee to green. I think this will be a decent test this week with that windy weekend. I can see Langasque going close to a second European Tour title. He was runner-up when Louis Oosthuizen won the South African Open at this course. So we know Langasque loves the track. No Louis Oosthuizen to worry about this time. Langasque had been warming up nicely for this. He's been practicing in Mauritius, my beautiful Mauritius. I love Mauritius. 2018 seems a long time ago when I was there. But he's tuning up nearby. If he continues that long game form, I find it so hard to see Langasque out of the frame here. So I know we've been sort of following him off a cliff recently, but give him one last try.
Will do. Third,
another sweet spot regular, Matthew Jordan, who is still a European Tour maiden, but I don't think he'd be for much longer. Clearly hungry for silverware. Not many Brits are bothering with this tournament. Matty Jordan is well up for it. He wants to get off the mark. And the weather forecast, as I've mentioned, is encouraging for him. He plays really well in the wind. He's expected to be blowing all weekend. I think a breakthrough at the age of 25 is entirely feasible. He's been knocking on the door lately. Sixth in the Hero Open, fourth in the European Masters, 15th in the Italian Open, fifth in the Portugal Masters. He's had two goes at this. He's got course experience at Rampart, 37-23. And it's worth noting he's got a new coach. He was one of the few players on the tour who didn't have a coach. He went it alone. He's decided he needs a set of eyes on him now, and it seems to be working.
Okay, and you promised us three at nice juicy prices, so we'll get those now. Who's the best of these three long shots?
The shortest price of the three long shots is 100 to 1. And that is Jens Dantorp, who, like Matty Jordan, excellent wind player. Most of the best results in Dantorp's career have come when a breeze has been blowing. I won't bore you with the details of that, but Dantorp has performed really well in Scotland, Ireland, the UAE, Oman, on the Portuguese coast. Really solid ball striker who comes alive in a breeze. I think he'll love this assignment. He was 49th on his only previous Rampart start, but expect much better this week. He's in good form. 9 top 20s on the Challenge Tour this year. He's a two-time winner on that circuit. He's still only 32. I think he could get off the mark.
Where's he from, Jens Dantorp?
Malmo, Sveed.
Oh, right. Brilliant. Yeah. Okay. Next, who else have we got then?
Then we've got two more at enormous prices. This is one of the biggest prices I've ever tipped, actually. James Hart Dupre. The last word in his name is spelt P-R-E-E-Z, but it's pronounced Dupre, which is very appropriate because he is a man of God. I saw an interview with him and he had the cross equals love. He had a love heart equals cross. So he's a man of God. So he does pray and his name is Dupre.
600 to one, Steve.
600 to one. I couldn't believe he's 600 to one in the bookmaking village. I mean, I don't know whether my online preview is going to be published before my before this podcast is published. You know, the powers that be do that. It's nothing to do with me. So, you know, I think the online preview will come out at a similar time to Sweet Spot. So, yeah, gobble up some 600 to one. I mean, he was 1,000 on the betting exchanges. I think he still is 1,000 on the bet exchanges as we talk.
Wow.
So everyone should be able to get a whopping price about this lad. He's an up-and-coming South African youngster. He's an absolute powerhouse. I mean, the reports from South Africa suggest he hits it further than Valco Nienaber. You know how excited we all get about Valco Nienaber and his like 440-yard drives. James Hart Dupre hits it further than Valco Nienaber. He's first for driving distance on the Sunshine Tour stats this year. Nienaber's fourth. And he's first for putts per greens in regulation. That's a pretty potent combo.
So he's not great with the old irons then, I'm presuming.
No, that's the weakness. But yeah, it's a great combo, isn't it? When you hit it further than anyone else and you putt better than anyone else. And he turned professional in 2018. He's only been in professional since 2018. He had three professional starts, then he got a wrist injury. And he had to have three wrist surgeries over the space of 16 months. So wipes out the start of his professional career. When he got fit and firing again at the end of 2019, he had a couple of top threes on the Sunshine Tour. Then COVID arrived just as he was getting going again, decimating the schedule. So it messed up his 2020. He decided to spend 2020 working on his technique with his coach, not worrying about results. I've seen a good interview with James Dupre. He basically said, right, I'm going to get my technique sorted in 2020. You know, COVID's ruined that year. So basically what I'm trying to say is he spent hardly any time as an active, fit and firing touring pro, but it's happening now. It's happening now and the signs are encouraging. He had a couple of 11th place finishes early in the year. At the end of August, he finished sixth in a Sunshine Tour event. And he seems to like Rand Park. He finished 13th in the Sunshine Tour qualifying school there when he was still an amateur. Last year he finished 23rd in the Joburg Open there. So yeah, I think Dupre is going places fast. I think he has got a prayer this week, and I think 600 to one quotes are frankly ridiculous.
Some of the most exciting things I've ever heard on Sweet Spot, Steve. Wow, that's yeah. Absolutely brilliant. Well done, James Hart Dupre, spelt Prees. That's excellent. Wow, how exciting! And you've got one to top that as well, have you?
I've got one, not quite as exciting a price, a 225 to one chance. Tristan Lawrence. He was the only
ever heard of Tristan Lawrence.
Oh, you will have heard of Tristan Lawrence before you die. I can assure you of that.
You don't know when I'm going to die.
Well, unless you die over the next 4 days, which okay. I hope you don't.
Gosh, I hope not.
That would be terrible, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Because that clip would go viral and it'd be like Sweet Spot presenter jokes about his own death.
Yeah, yeah. I'll be cancelled. Yeah, he's the only course winner in the field. You look at the previous course winners, you've got Brandon Grace, Louis Oosthuizen, even JB Hansen and Shubhankar Sharma can't be bothered to turn up. So this has left Tristan Lawrence as the only course winner in the field. And he won that Sunshine Tour qualifying score that I mentioned in 2018 by 4 shots, a 5-round event. And he destroyed the field. He was great from a young age, Tristan Lawrence. Turned pro at the age of 17. He's 24 now. He won the Lytham Trophy in 2014. Very prestigious amateur event, I'm sure you're well aware of. He's the only South African to have ever won the Lytham Trophy. Always had great potential. He's won 2 South African amateur championships. His pro career hasn't been as good as we were all expecting, but he has won once on the Sunshine Tour. He's had 4 top sixes on that circuit this year, one of which came last time out, closed with a 64.
Brilliant. Steve, some superb cases there for those 6 golfers, and they're all decent prices. So if people spread their pennies around, they can build a nice little portfolio, put their eggs in six baskets and hope one of them hatches into a beautiful goose or something, eh?
Yeah, Retty Goosen. And there's eight yes. each-way places out there. You know, take eight each-way places with your Dupre if you can.
Okay. Right then, let's reiterate the tips in case anyone missed a couple of them. We've got six in the Joburg Open. It's the only tournament this week. And the selections are...
Jaden Schaper, Romain Langasque, Matty Jordan, Jens Dantorp, James Hart Dupre, spelt P-R-E-E-Z, and Tristan Lawrence.
Okay. Right. You ready for some questions, Steve? When we only have one tournament, we tend to do a few questions. I put an appeal out on Twitter and we got a nice response. Flantonio Conte. That's a good one. He says, what's more painful, having a player with a chance of winning on Sunday who doesn't even place or a player winning the week after you've backed them? They're both part and parcel of the joys and pleasures and perils of being a golf punter, aren't they? But which one really gets your goat out of those two, Steve?
Maybe a bit of recency bias, but I'd say the first one. Yeah, I mean, McIlroy going from first to sixth in the blink of an eye was an absolute heartbreak. I mean, the most painful aspect of golf betting is when the last name of the shortlist wins. You know, I thought Seamus Power was going to do that to me in the RSM last week. But yeah, but those two things are painful. It's a life of pain.
Oh, come on. It's not quite like that.
No.
AK, who himself is a life very, of fun. Very... Yeah, exactly, yeah. AK, a very good judge in his own right and a big fan of the show. He's got three questions. Who's your cliff golfer? I can answer that, Thomas Peters. He says, is there a phone number to ring and talk to someone if after assessing a tournament you keep betting Tyrrell Hatton? Hatton's not had a good year, has he, Steve?
No. It's since he got married, didn't he? Since he got married, he's gone right off the boil.
Okay, and he finally says, a golfer that's won you the most money and the one that's cost you the most.
Most money, I think it'd be between Xander Schauffele, Brandon Grace and Patrick Reed. Schauffele in the biggest double I've ever won on. Grace had a big win in Dublin in 2012. And Patrick Reed, 2018 Masters, was a great single coup. Losing money. I'd say John Rahm or Patrick Cantlay. I can never seem to get them right.
Okay. Rory Fenlon asks, does Steve ever bring out This Will Not Be Beaten song down the stretch on Sunday? And by the way, Ollie Bell, the racing presenter, he put that tweet out. He tweeted the clip of you from Britain at the bookies last week, didn't he?
It
got an amazing response. An accidental partridge picked it up, which I thought was a bit mean, but you loved that, didn't you?
Oh, I'd love to be associated with Alan. Yeah, one of my heroes is Alan Partridge. So yeah, I was delighted.
But do you ever find yourself idly singing a few bars of This Will Not Be Beaten?
Yeah, not with as much conviction as that though. No, too many battle scars now. Yeah, I don't sing This Will Not Be Beaten until the scorecard is signed. You know.
Oh, really? You don't count your chickens anymore?
I've learned that too much.
Michael Drain says, why aren't any bookies betting on the FedEx Cup outright? This is something you've written about before. It should be a good betting heat, really, shouldn't it?
Yeah, they just can't be bothered to keep updating it. You know, it's a complicated business and they're not up for it. I mean, yeah, you've got a handicap system at the end of the year, which, you know, complicates matters. Yeah, they just haven't got the gumption.
No, exactly. Chris Paul says, what expletive did Steve used when Rory hit the pin and ended up in the bunker? I mean, you were obviously blissfully unaware and going around looking at planes at the Bournemouth Aviation Museum. But when the horror sort of dawned on you, you were with the kids. So I don't suppose you could really have turned the air too blue, could you?
I try not to swear in front of the kids. And sometimes I just don't even have the strength to say anything. You know, it's more just like silence and just gasps and sighs. So, yeah. No words.
Dave Graham says, how's Trifle Face, your old mucker Trifle Face? He was always a big part of the column, wasn't he, Trifle Face? He's not
in fine fettle. No, he had COVID. He had COVID and he hasn't fully recovered. His liver's been damaged and he's got to have no drink over Christmas. Yeah, he's having all sorts
of
blood tests and stuff at the moment and x-rays and that. Yeah, we're worried about Trifle Face. He's going to be all right, but I don't think, you know, he's going to have a long COVID or whatever you call it.
Oh, my goodness. How awful. Oh, there you go. You did ask. Paul O'Malley, where does Steve get his info on the goings-on in the golf world? What are the best golf websites for news, etc.?
I think you've just got to watch as much golf as possible. All the best golfing news and tidbits will come from the coverage. You know, you watch the Sky Golf coverage, you'll learn all sorts of stuff. You know, I learned about
You're on Twitter a lot, though, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah. There's all sorts of golden stuff on Twitter as well. But I learned about Matthew Jordan getting a coach, for example, through one of those on-course interviews with him a couple of weeks back. So,
oh, cool.
Yeah. You've just got to watch as much golf as possible.
Thomas Brown, what's Steve's thoughts on Morikawa winning the race to Dubai despite only playing three European Tour events this season? It's pretty sad indictment of the quality of play on the European Tour, isn't it?
I try not to get too het up about these things because they're not going to help you back winners. You know, my brain is full of thoughts that are going to help me back winners. You're not going to back winners if you're getting het up about that. I mean, all I would say is, you know, how many, you talk about Colin Morikawa being the first American to win the Race to Dubai. How many Race to Dubais would Tiger Woods have won? How many European money lists would Tiger Woods have won if he could have been bothered? You know, it's a bit odd to make this big song and dance about first American. You know, Tiger Woods would have topped everything if he could have, you know, fit the criteria and become a European Tour member. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, so it's not like the old days where Ronan Rafferty used to win it, is it? By grinding out results all around Hanbury Manor and such like. John Sproul says, can Steve ever envisage Martin Kaymer overcoming the demons that seem to be enveloping every time he gets into contention?
I haven't backed Martin Kaymer since the old King died. I don't trust his short game anymore. You won't be able to back Martin Kaymer for 3 months now. He's having 3 months off. I don't know if you noticed his pregnant partner trotting around the course the other day. He's becoming a father very, very soon, and he's taking 3 months off to fully immerse himself in that. Maybe fatherhood will trigger something, but yeah, he's nowhere near my radar at the moment.
Righty-ho. James Dick, and by the way, James, you've got the friendliest Twitter profile pic I've ever seen. It's got a lovely warm smile, James Dick. I saw the origins of the This Will Not Be Beaten appear on the internet this week, and I didn't realise it was from something on the BBC. What was it, and can it still be watched?
Britain at the Bookies, yeah, 2015, was it? 2015. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if it's on YouTube. Maybe you can get it on YouTube or something, or maybe the BBC will sort you out. I don't know. But yeah, it was a documentary about betting. I think it was Punter versus Bookmaker was the actual name of that one. Wasn't it? Yeah,
it was brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Loved it. Mark Winston, this is a very interesting question, and one that a lot of golf punters I know are interested to know. What's Steve's preferred each way, a quarter, the five, or a fifth, six, or seven? Would he take shorter odds for more places?
Quarter, the five.
That's for Mark.
Thanks, Mark. Quarter, the five is much better than fifth, the sixth. I mean, fifth, the sixth is pretty disgusting, isn't it? Fifth, the seven, okay. Fifth, the eight, great. So, I'd much prefer quarter, the five over fifth, the sixth.
Okay. And from Rab Corbett, will we eventually have a major outside the USA or the UK in the near future? And why does Steve call Bruce John?
I can't see us having a major outside, but I couldn't see us having a Ryder Cup outside until Theriberth masterminded that first one in Spain. Maybe it'll happen. I'm a purist. I'm an old fuddy-duddy. I don't want it to happen, but it's probably a bit unfair on the other countries, isn't it? Well, I call you John because... Graham Taylor, the greatest co-commentator in football history, used to say very much so John to John Champion a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, it is quite confusing. We tried to stamp that out, but it's sort of become an involuntary action, hasn't it? We just say very much so John. But anyway,
I can't stop it.
We should try and sort that out. What players is Steve looking at that he thinks will have a big 2022? That's from William Grant. Is there anyone, maybe a couple, one in Europe, one in America, you think, these guys are going to take a big step forward in the new year?
I think Maverick McNealy will win a PGA Tour event next year. I know I've been banging on about Maverick McNealy for a long time, but he'd be the one to concentrate on.
Okay. Just Maverick McNealy, no one in Europe?
Yeah. No, I haven't really thought about that.
All right, mate, and finally, this is really important because I'm sure that this must have lifted your spirits no end. Alan Stain says, has Steve seen the video of Tiger Woods hitting shots? Do you think he will play competitive golf again? Wasn't that lovely to see that? Lovely. I mean, it wasn't a perfect swing. I think someone really sort of, there was a tweet from Tiger Woods. It just said, getting there, and he's on the range, and he hit a nice shot. And one bloke sort of tried to do a really sort of, you know, in-depth forensic swing analysis, going, oh, you're lunging at the ball a little bit, your wrists aren't at the right angle. It's like, for God's sake, man, you just come back. Just rejoice at that sight.
Yeah, exactly. I was rejoicing. It made such a lovely sound. It was such a crisp connection. I mean, I don't know how many he did before that. Maybe they were going off in all directions. That was the best one of a bad bunch. I don't know. But, yeah, absolutely fantastic. It looks like he's going to be playing golf with his son again, which is the target. You know, he's going to be able to play leisure golf with his son again. There's lots of people getting very excited about saying, oh, he's going to play in the Masters next year. That'll be the comeback. I still can't see. I hope I'm wrong. It'd be fantastic. If Tiger Woods makes a competitive comeback, if Tiger Woods is competitive again, and wins a tournament, say, you can just give up on life because you won't see a better life story than that. I mean, yeah, the way everyone's talking, there's not that many years left for the planet anyway, is there? But
Don't start falling for that.
Even if the planet went on.
Listen, Steve, the world is a lot safer than you think, all right? I know that COP26 made us all think, oh, Christ, it's all going to go wrong. But, you know, I'm sure it'll be fine. My son's reading a very good book now just about how the world has never been as safe. You know, life through the lens of news would scare anybody. But real life, in your life, I was thinking about this. In my life, I don't have people calling me a W word or, you know, bad things happening. I mean, I'm lucky enough to have a really nice life. And I'm sure most people have a pretty, you know, sensible, okay, ordinary life. But then you go on the news or you go on social media and it's just this maelstrom of bad stuff, isn't it? But so don't worry about it, Steve, honestly. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
Okay. No, I'll try not to worry. But all I was going to say was that no matter how long the planet goes on for, even if it went on for like another billion, trillion years, if Tiger Woods comes back from that and wins a PGA Tour event, you won't see a better story ever.
What about, I don't know, what if they managed to clone dogs?
Nah, wouldn't be interested in that.
You'd rather Tiger Woods won the Greater Greensboro Open than scientists enable your favourite pet to be cloned so that you can face it? Really?
Too many dogs out there anyway. I only like greyhounds. I don't like any other dogs. I suppose cloning greyhounds would be good. But yeah, I hate dogs. They just the path I walk up is covered in the fouling.
What's your euphemism to the kids for dogs, like poo?
Business, I think, isn't it? Business,
You say mind that dog's business.
Yeah, they've done their business there. Watch out for that,
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, that's appalling. And there is lockdown has created a whole new generation of dog owners, isn't it? And a lot of them don't know how to dispose of their dog's feces properly.
That's it, and dog's feces is so much more offensive than other feces, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
I mean, I love a horse feces.
Yeah, you could trade in a horse feces.
You could swim in a horse feces and you'd have no ill effects. It might even enhance your skin. It just seems so full of goodness, isn't it? I know we work for the Racing Post. Maybe we're biased, but
on brand. Well, we have dog section. We have greyhound section as well in the Racing Post.
But I wouldn't want to swim in any dog feces.
No, nor me.
Blind you, isn't it?
Absolutely. On that note, Steve, what have we got next week? The Hero, is it?
Hero World Challenge, South African Open.
You back for that?
Very much so. Looking forward to it.
Lovely stuff. Okay, Steve, thank you very much indeed. Have a great week. Thank you very much for tuning in. 6 selections from Steve. You can read more and get all the stats and all the odds in the Racing Post on Wednesday or at racingpost.com. Hope you can join us next Tuesday for another Sweet Spot.